On Press TV, a former top UN official calls for a probe into war crimes in Afghanistan. Israel is set to step up its settlement activities despite an international outcry. And in Venezuela, millions of people go to the polls to elect a new parliament. Live from Tehran, this is Press TV News. Many thanks for joining us. A former top-ranking UN official has demanded an investigation into alleged war crimes in Afghanistan. Philip Alston has called for the UN Human Rights Council to investigate the way the war is conducted in Afghanistan. The call comes amid rising concern over the level of civilian casualties caused by U.S.-led forces. More than 1,000 Afghan civilians have been killed in armed violence in the first 6 months of this year. A number of instances of alleged civilian killings by British forces in Afghanistan were recently revealed in secret military files published by whistleblowing website WikiLeaks. Alston says the refusal of the United States to become a signatory to the International Criminal Court means an inquiry by the Human Rights Council offers a reasonable alternative. Earlier on Sunday, NATO troops killed another two Afghan civilians in the southern Helmand province. The U.S. has stepped up its airstrikes in Pakistan's northwestern tribal belt. The latest American air attacks in North Waziristan region has left seven people dead and many injured. Here is more.
Washington's drone attacks in the tribal regions of northwestern Pakistan have intensified on an unprecedented scale. The latest attack by the U.S. unmanned planes has claimed several lives. This time, as per usual, North Waziristan region was hit. The U.S. drones have killed over 1,000 people in Pakistan's tribal regions since 2008. The attacks, the U.S. claims, are targeted against militants who cross the border into Afghanistan to help the Taliban against U.S.-led foreign forces there. This, while figures show most of those killed in such airstrikes are Pakistani civilians. The U.S. Daily, The New York Times, ran a report earlier this year saying the CIA had been given the go-ahead to expand the drone strikes. More drone attacks have been conducted under U.S. President Barack Obama than under his predecessor, George W. Bush. The civilian casualties resulting from American drone attacks have caused anger among Pakistani people and have drawn criticism from Pakistani officials.
The U.S. is pursuing a perverse policy against the Taliban and involving Pakistan in a long-term hatred between Pakistan and Afghanistan. So this is a very perverse war which has to come to end very quickly, and it's only if the Muslim nations rise and tell the U.S. that enough is enough. You have destroyed Iraq, you have destroyed Palestine, you're destroying Pakistan.
In June, the U.N. slammed Washington for its drone attacks. The former special rapporteur on extrajudicial summary or arbitrary executions, Philip Alston, said using targeted killings with weapons such as pilotless planes poses a growing challenge to the international rule of law. Attacks as a pretext for using force in the sovereign territories of other states.
Enables it legally to use.
To other news now, Israel is set to fully resume its settlement activities on occupied land, as its 10-month partial settlement freeze has just come to an end. So far, Israeli officials have refused to give in to international pressure to renew the partial freeze. Bulldozers and cement trucks have already arrived in two West Bank settlements, ready to begin work. Meanwhile, acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas has said direct talks with Israel will be a waste of time if Tel Aviv resumes settlement activity. Elsewhere in the occupied West Bank, tension has been on the rise. Palestinian protesters have clashed with Israeli forces in the village of Beit Omar. over an Israeli barrier which extends into their land. Several people, including foreign activists, have been injured. Now, a boat carrying Jewish activists has set sail from Cyprus to break the Israeli siege of Gaza. The British-flagged boat named Irene is carrying aid activists from Israel, Europe, and the U.S. The organizing team has announced that the boat to Gaza is a symbolic act of protest against Israel's blockade on the coastal strip. The group says not all Jewish people support Israeli policies. They believe the move will send a message of solidarity to those who seek peace and justice. The oldest Jewish activist on board says he joined the voyage to protest the persecution, oppression, and imprisonment of Gaza residents, half of them children. The boat will deliver prosthetic limbs to patients and fishing nets for Gaza's fishing communities. Toys and musical instruments and textbooks are also part of the cargo.
In order to raise my voice against evil, in order to make a point and draw the public attention to the fact that 1.5 million people are under siege, and this is inhuman.
So Israel's propaganda is always self-defense. Israel tries to be the victim, to put itself as a victim. This is what I received as a child all the way throughout growing until I went to the army to fight in order to be this victim that protects himself.
Millions of Venezuelans are heading to the polls for legislative elections. At least 17 million registered voters are eligible to cast their ballots. More than 300 candidates are competing for 165 seats in the National Assembly. The National Election Council has sent 250,000 observers to ensure voting centers follow electoral protocols. Polls suggest that it'll be a tight race between the president's United Socialist Party and the opposition. President Hugo Chavez's United Socialist Party is expected to win just over half the votes. This would give it the two-thirds it needs to push forward with its policies. Opposition parties are also expected to make big gains there. They boycotted the elections in 2005. Iranian authorities released an American suspected of spying for the U.S. on bail just 2 weeks ago. Now two Iranians are urging Sarah Shore, that woman, to help them secure the release of their mother from a U.S. jail.
Sarah Short was released on humanitarian grounds. Sarah's mother was granted a visa to meet her daughter in Tehran during her detention period. Sarah later chose to meet with the Iranian president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad during his New York visit. She describes her visit with the president as a very humane encounter. During his week-long visit to the U.S., the Iranian president called on U.S. authorities to release some of the Iranian prisoners being illegally held in the U.S. President Ahmadinejad's call came after the daughters of an Iranian detainee, Shahrzad Mirqali Khan, who was arrested upon arrival in the U.S. in December 2007, asked to meet Sarah before she left Iran.
Our mother is also in prison. She's a 32-year-old. Let's see if she wants to meet with us. Let's see if we can help us. It's been like 3 years. We didn't get the chance to see her. You have, campaigns and many people support you, but unfortunately for our mother, that is not possible. Our mother is innocent in that jail. She has many health difficulties, like she fell from the bed. We tried, but they didn't let us. Like, they didn't allow us to go see her mom. It's really hard because I don't understand why. I mean, they let your mother, but we haven't seen her. It's really hard for us.
We have this letter that we've written, and we hope that you can give it to the president to help us.
It's for Obama, the letter?
Yeah, you can read it.
That's great. Thank you. I'll do my best. I think I should be able to. Thank you for telling me about this.
Yeah.
Iranians say it's high time U.S. authorities reciprocated the humanitarian gesture and released Iranians from U.S. jails.
You're watching Press TV News. Following the announcement of Russian President Dmitry Medvedev Wednesday that a decision has been made not to supply the S-300 air defense system to Iran, Experts are saying the move violates the terms of the contract. Press TV's Gisu Misha Ahmadi has more.
After continuous delays and mixed signals regarding the S-300 missile deal, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev issued a decree on Wednesday banning the delivery of the anti-aircraft defense system to Iran, stirring controversy as Moscow had previously said that it was not obligated to drop the deal with Iran according to the UN Security Council Resolution 1929. The move drew criticism from Iranian officials who say Russia should pay compensation.
Iran should get its money back plus its interest. Iran has paid some money for this deal, it has been delayed and it's been messed around, so it should get the money according to the rules as pointed out in the agreement itself.
But a more pertinent question would be, how will that affect Iran's defense capabilities?
Iranian armed forces initially wanted the S-300 system as a stopgap. It was to tie them over until their own systems came into play. Iran is moving away from radar-based technologies for detection of for aircraft detection to more advanced technologies. So how will it affect Iran? It will spoil the plans when it comes to the short term, but in the long term, it won't have major effects on Iran's defensive program.
The Iranian Parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Commission will soon be discussing the measures that Iran should take.
We need to discuss this issue and decide what are the ways to deal with the situation. I personally believe that the Russians will eventually deliver the S-300 system. We've had similar experiences with the Russians, such as the Bushehr power plant.
The S-300 is a mobile long-range air defense system that can detect, track, and destroy ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and low-flying aircraft. The deal is estimated to be worth around $1 billion and was signed back in 2007. Tehran says breaking it could harm Russia's reputation. While a better late than never policy may still work, Iranian officials say that this is yet another example of why Iran cannot trust other countries and therefore should not rely on them. Gisum Shahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
You're watching Press TV News. These are the headlines this hour. A former top UN official calls for a probe into war crimes in Afghanistan. Also on the program, Israel is set to step up its settlement activities despite an international outcry. And in Venezuela, millions of people go to the polls to elect a new parliament.